Old school and new school joining forces to give you an education. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back in, Rothman and Ice. We go to the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Mike Tenier, our friend from Football Outsiders and the New York Times, is with us. MT in the house. How'd you enjoy the draft, bud?
I really enjoyed Aaron Rodgers' self-esteem hissy fit weekend with the opening act of the NFL draft.
Oh, you know, it's funny that you put it that way, because most people, and I like the fact that you're being candid with this. Most people are like that the Packers deserve this, that they deserve the beating that they're taking in the media with Rodgers, that he, if anyone, should be able to bully their way out or get a front office person fired, it's Aaron Rodgers. But I we haven't talked about it a lot yet today, but the fact that now, Mike, that he's saying, I'll stay if this guy gets fired, are you buying that? Or is he just, he underestimated the backlash from Packer fan?
I think every stage along this sort of prima donna, you know, bigger than the game, every step he takes down this road, he loses a few supporters in among the fans, among the media, among the people who kind of stump for him. Because, yeah, some guys, you know, it is like, hey, if Aaron Rodgers wants to act this way, he's Aaron Rodgers. He can. You know, LeBron can act this way. You know, all these other people can sort of act this way. You have to put up with it to a point where it does get ridiculous and it becomes almost vindictive. I think people need to keep in mind, Rodgers already pretty much had a coach fired. He already had a regime change over top of him. You know, this is kind of who he is to a degree here where, you know, it becomes something that does become counterproductive, where even bosses who are sympathetic, bosses who realize how necessary he is to win, get to be like, look, we can't do it this way anymore. They've been that way really for a year or so in Green Bay, and we're really, the world is finding out about it now. That said, you know, when you have this problem and your management, it is your job to come up with a solution. And the Packers' solution so far has been, hey, let's draft Jordan Love, and let's pretend everything's okay, and let's let this fester. That's not necessarily a good look on their side either.
Let's stay in the NFC North. You know, Justin Fields selected by the Chicago Bears. They make a move up to get their potential quarterback of the future. Your thoughts on maybe a quarterback competition between Dalton and Justin Fields? How are you feeling about that, and who do you think will be the guy when the Bears take a snap in week one?
The competition should be between Andy Dalton and Nick Foles to see who gets to be the cushy, overpaid, I'm a mentor quarterback for Justin Fields and gets to do all of that routine. And heaven forbid the poor loser of that battle gets to go to the Houston Texans or something. But that's the way this should be. If Nagy is who he claims to be, which is an Andy Reid protege, Andy Reid has excelled in the past at putting together a game plan for young quarterbacks that they can play with right away. I mean, he let Mahomes wait, but he had Alex Smith, so he let Mahomes wait there. They can put together things that Justin Fields can do outstandingly early on and then backfill as he grows. That's a better plan for this team, which still has a lot on defense, that can still win games by like 20-17, 21-17 final scores if they have to. That's a much better plan than saying, let's wait, let's make this Andy Dalton thing happen a while. I think that they're just prolonging the agony for the fans. Justin Fields, unless something untoward happens, is ready to get out there and be their starting quarterback day one.
Mike Tenier with us. We talk NFL draft. Duke Tobin, the Bengals power structure is a little mysterious. So Tobin runs this, isn't it? I mean, like it's pretty clear that Tobin has run their drafts before Marvin Lewis was jettisoned out of there. And when you think about it, I mean, outside of our guy Billy Price, his drafts have made some sense. I think most people agree with that. I mean, Boyd, yeah. Mixon, Bates, Higgins. Those are second-round picks that look really good. Lawson and Hubbard, really good mid-rounders. Burrow, we know what he's getting out of that. But did you like the pick at 5, reuniting him with one of the great weapons in the draft when their O-line showed itself last year to the tune of a scar that runs down Burrow's leg?
Yeah, I would have taken today Sewell. I think most people have taken Penei Sewell, and it is a little mysterious that you have this opportunity and you go in the other direction. Especially when, like you said, they've drafted pretty well, but they have not drafted well overall on the offensive line. And here is the no-brainer of no-brainers, you don't take it. That said, moving forward. Jamar Chase, heck of a player. Gives you that wide receiver one that you had with A.J. Green up until Green started to be sort of an injury case. If they come back later, I like Jackson Carmen. I think he's a pretty good prospect. Maybe a little reach at second round, but I don't think he's a terrible player. I know that they got a guy later on I don't know much about, Deontay Smith. And I like what they did on the edge rushers. I like both of the guys, particularly Joseph Asai. So I don't think it's a bad draft overall, but the question is, how is this offensive line going to get better and going to protect Joe Burrow? And, you know, I don't necessarily have an answer for that. Maybe the jury's still out on Jonah Williams. I don't know. Maybe they're expecting some of the younger guys. Maybe they expect more out of Riley Reiff than I think they're going to get out of Riley Reiff. But it was mysterious, and it does leave a very potentially dangerous a gap on there in their depth chart at a position that they absolutely need to protect their quarterback.
Wanted to slide over to the NFC South with you. Tampa's had an incredible offseason, running it back with everybody, coaches, kicker, punter, long snapper. It's unbelievable what they've been able to do. But which team do you think's maybe closed the gap on Tampa? Who do you think is going to be maybe their toughest competition within the NFC South? Because I think there's some pretty interesting storylines for all three of the teams, Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans. I'm intrigued by all three of them. Who do you think's closed the gap on the champs right now?
Well, I do not like New Orleans' draft at all. I do not. I think that they were going out there. They're a team that's about to kind of fall apart. Obviously, Drew Brees is retired. They go out and get Ian Book at quarterback, which basically said, hey, we're rolling with Taysom Hill. That's how it's going to be. A lot of really good players on defense, old players on defense, and they went and they kind of drafted projects. They drafted the kind of guys you get when you don't have a lot of needs and you can kind of like put a guy on your bench and redshirt him for a year. So it's not the Saints. I'm still looking at Sam Darnold at the top of the depth chart in Carolina. So let's go over to the Atlanta Falcons, who I think added an incredible weapon for Matt Ryan. If the logic is you're going to keep Matt Ryan operating at peak facility and get, you know, I guess 5,000-yard passing seasons with him in 17 games, Kyle Pitts is the best possible guy for that. Looks like the Julio Jones rumors are down. They're going to stick with Ridley, Jones, and Pitts. Oh, my God, that's going to make any quarterback look good. Some of the guys that get later on, like Richie Grant, had a really high grade on him. He's somebody who helps their defense. You know, Football Outsiders, the Falcons' defense, I believe, finished 14th in the NFL. We're used to the Falcons' defense finishing 32nd in the NFL, so 14th is really good. If they're getting a little younger, if they're adding pieces there, get a little bit better luck, recover some onside kicks, stop doing stupid stuff in the fourth quarter, they can be the team that turns around and causes a little more trouble for the Buccaneers.
All right, Mike, let's take our final minute and talk about those brownies. And Andrew Berry is like the sixth or seventh decision maker since Jimmy H bought the team. And hopefully he'll be the last decision maker for a while. He hit on Jed Wills. That looks great. He took some late round hands team with Harrison Bryant and Donovan Peoples-Jones. There's some value there. They were able to sit back and get need here with Greg Newsome the second, and then Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, which a lot of people had as a big-time talent. And then he took the high-ceiling, low-floor Anthony Schwartz, raw receiver, boom or bust. But the Brownies were just trying to, you know, fill in some places of need with best player available. Do you grade them out here as making some noise this year in this draft?
I do, and it's like the one thing you see with the Barry administration, they don't do anything stupid. They don't lurch around doing crazy stuff. They take measured risks. When they take a risk, it makes sense. It's a position where they can back things up. So when I look at what they did in the offseason, secondary is significantly upgraded. Secondary was a weak spot, in part because of injuries last year, but it's significantly upgraded with the guys they got from the Rams and Greg Newsome. I also had a high grade on Jeremy Owusu-Koramoah on the Joker Man. I think the logic when you're like an analytics-based team is that you don't overspend at linebacker. Get a second-round pick who's a linebacker who can fly around, who can generate sacks for you. That's a good move there. Didn't have a high grade on Anthony Schwartz, but speed is speed is speed is speed. And, you know, if you're going to play a lot of two tight ends and if you're going to get Odell back or if Peoples-Jones is going to take another step forward, that's not bad. So they did enough at each place. This was not some make-or-break draft for them. They consolidated their gains throughout the offseason, through the draft, through the free agency. I know they've got money to spend. They can extend some contracts to some of these guys as well. And I think that they've done a very good job overall in the offseason.
All right, he's all over the place. He contributes to the Football Outsiders. Follow them on Twitter at FB Outsiders and at New York Times Sports. He's Mike Tenier. Great job, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure. Take care and enjoy the off season.